This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Milwaukee Sports Talk Radio, there are the issues that we all talk about. And you who have the final say. This is your show. It's Kim and Lavoie. Judgment Day.
If you've been arrested for drunk driving or any other criminal offense, call Kim and Lavoie, 262-796-1400. That's 262-796-1400. Or go to KimandLavoie.com. Kim and Lavoie, they're your best defense.
Now, the Wendy's Big Show.
Wendy's Big Show on a Kim and Lavoie Judgment Day. Those are Tuesdays here on the Wendy's Big Show. 2 to 6, we take you home each day on the fan. Glad you're with us. Hope work wasn't too bad. You only got 3 more days of it till it's the weekend, and maybe you head off yesterday. So you only have a 4-day work week. What's better than that? Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Baby Tausch, Anthony Mandela, and intern Mother Plucker here with you till 6 o'clock on the fan. Just talk to Eric Name. If you missed that conversation, 1057FMTheFan.com's Fan on Demand. It'll be up momentarily. And that's brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC, Highway 100 in Greenfield. Sparky, Aaron Rodgers, his new head coach spoke yesterday. His new offensive coordinator spoke yesterday. His new quarterbacks coach spoke yesterday. The new tight ends coach spoke yesterday. Matt LaFleur unveils his entire coaching staff yesterday and allows all of them to be available for media interviews and introductions, really, for a lot of these guys to the Green Bay media. And one was a reintroduction, Luke Getsy back in the fold, 35 years old, back as Aaron Rodgers' quarterback's coach, spent 4 years with the Green Bay Packers and coaching quality controls for the Green Bay Packers. And from an article that Michael Cohen had at The Athletic earlier on today, reading through a really just kind of a bio of all the assistant coaches that were interviewed and introduced yesterday, and Luke Getsy was the only one really that Matt LaFleur made any kind of comment to having a previous relationship to Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And then tried to say that it didn't mean a whole lot. Then what was the point? Then it comes back to Aaron Rodgers likes Luke Getsy, respects Luke Getsy.
Always important.
And Gary, there was then conversation that Aaron Rodgers finally might think that he has somebody that's going to take him to a next level.
That's what we hope, okay? So what he's saying here is that Aaron Rodgers wants to be coached. That's all he wants done. And I guess what you make of that is that Matt McCarthy wasn't coaching him? I mean, is that what you get out of that? Because I think that's what this whole thing is going to be all about.
It does sound like Michael McCarthy was coaching anybody based on all these players saying there's no accountability.
Exactly. I mean, you can look at that across the board, Steve. I don't even know Mike Pettine was coaching anybody over there. Oh, that's defense. I'm sure he was.
Yeah, because they had to try because that defense was not very good.
Yeah. So let's just stick to the offensive side of the ball because that's where we're at. There's a lot of rumblings that Mike just kind of threw the towel. And really, the statement for me, Steve, that got Mike in trouble. To me, maybe got him fired when he's and I get that they lost and he goes, well, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what I'm gonna do tomorrow, but I'm gonna wake up and be a Green Bay Packers coach. I'm like, dude, you can't say that. I mean, it's a defeatist attitude where maybe your guys, the players, already don't feel confident in you, and so now we're gonna bring all these coaches. Are what? Luke Getsy is 35, mm-hmm. Right? Is Hackett 35 as well, or is he 39?
Hackett is 39. Luke Getsy is 35. Your boy Justin Oaten
somebody
is
35
years old, the new tight ends coach.
35.
And Adam Stenovich is also 35 years old, the new offensive line coach.
Right.
Who's never been a position coach in the NFL before.
Right. So it's a lot of young guys, and here's what you have. And we don't know if this is the Mike Holmgren staff or not, right? You guys remember the Mike Holmgren staff?
Yep.
Bunch of young dudes.
They were all young. They were like this. But Mike was the experienced one. But you think about that, and Leroy can better talk about it than me, but Gruden, right? Andy Reid. Was that Sherman? Was Mike Sherman on that staff, too?
Steve Mariucci.
Oh, Mooch.
Andy Reid. Gruden.
Right.
All those guys.
And was it Sherm Lewis?
Ray Rhodes, Sherm Lewis.
Ray Rhodes and Sherm Lewis.
Yep.
I think all those guys are relatively young, like this group. And they're saying all he wants to do is be coached up. I don't know. It remains to be seen.
Our own Mike Clemens asked Luke Getsy yesterday, guys, and this is a very, very point-blank question by Mike.
Aaron's got your trust that you can coach him hard?
Well, I think, listen, this is what is it. When you get into a room, you want to earn the trust of people. And, you know, being here for 4 years, I think there's a mutual respect, a mutual trust that we developed before. But you know, but it's I'm back again, and I gotta earn that again. And then players, I've always felt that way. They're not gonna show they care until you show you care. And so we got a lot of work to do. And he wants to be great. And he wants to be that MVP and win a Super Bowl more than anybody else here. There's no doubt. And so that my job is to help him, you know, get to that opportunity.
Sparky, Luke Getsy right there talks about having to earn the trust of Aaron Rodgers to be able to coach him hard. But do you really believe Aaron Rodgers wants to be coached hard?
Yeah, he's going to win the MVP. Yeah, of course he does. I mean, he wants to figure out how to get back to that MVP level. And however we're going to help get me to the MVP level is what I want to hear. Because obviously, the way I've been doing it last year obviously wasn't working with the previous coaching staff. So you're here because you're supposedly better than what we had. So show me what they missed and what I missed last year in trying to fix my fundamentals or whatever the case may be. And help me get over the top to buy into you know, how to get back to that MVP level again. I think he does want to get coached up to that level. But here's my issue. My issue is whether or not they can convince him they know more than him. That is where the rub is going to lie. Because if he is sitting in a meeting being told something that he knows is not true or not accurate, and he calls him to the carpet on it, that is going to be bad, 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 bad news. Like, if they're going to be teaching him and coaching him, they have to be right, and they have to prove why they're right. Because you would have to think Rodgers will second guess. You want me to do it this way, okay? Well, then tell me why I'm doing it this way versus the way that I've done it my whole career. Why am I changing? He's going to ask those questions, and he should, right? I mean, the success he's had in his career, he should ask questions. There's nothing wrong with that, but they have to have answers. If they don't have answers and it goes quiet when he asks and asks and asks and asks, then at that point, you're going to have a respect issue. And then how do you get yourself out of that hole as a coaching staff? I have no idea. But you better have answers for every question he's going to ask you. He'll take coaching as long as you can justify and prove to him that you're right and he buys into that, you're good to go. If not, then it's going to be a long ride for you.
Gary, are you buying that Aaron Rodgers wants to be coach hard?
So I think every player wants to be coached up. That's what you're there for, to learn, right? I mean,
coached up, see how you can get better. See where in a stance you can get.
I'm torn with this because Aaron Rodgers was in a weird way the last couple of years. Yes, I think every great player wants to be coached up. I do. It's the only way you're going to get better. So my answer to that would be yes. I'm just going to say this, and Leroy played a long-time Pro Bowler. And listen, Rodgers is not the first guy that did something his coach didn't want him to do.
Right.
Okay. That
his just a little bit more public.
Right. It's a little bit more public, and it may have been a little bit more out there.
I don't know if it was to the point to where Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger airing your dirty laundry, but it could be in that.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, family. It didn't get that bad.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I would say yes, this man wants to be coached up. But I'm just confused about the whole I'm in the huddle and just disrespecting saying to the other players, I'm not calling that here.
What about Gary? What about the same thing, your same point? How does this sound? Coach to a point.
Jermichael Finley did say that.
He's coachable to a point. He said that on the mic.
You want to explain that?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's why don't you explain it, Roy?
Why don't you do that after the break? Is that cool?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Are you going to lose it?
Coach, to your point, you want to write it down?
Well, my memory ain't the best now. But, yeah, come back because I can drink my free coffee I just went and got.
And people will remind you at 414-799-1250. Kim and LaVoy, Judgment Day on the Wendy's Big Show rolls on next.
People like you always have something to say.
You take forever to say nothing.
So never get shut out of the conversation.
Stay connected.
And share your well-formed opinions.
In your face, Milwaukee!
Follow us on Twitter at 1057FM The Fan.
We at the Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors want to thank all of our listeners for making us the most listened to two-hour live outdoor show in Wisconsin.
But we're the only two-hour live show in Wisconsin.
Dan Bush and me, Tom Neubauer, wait a second, I'm Dan Bush, will take you on an informative and fun ride on the crazy train. We'll discuss fishing, hunting, and other interesting items every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. here on Sports Radio 1250 a.m. and 105.7 The Fan. And that's no hornswoggle. Don't know what a hornswoggle is? You'll have to tune in.
The Skipper Buds Cutting Edge Outdoors is brought to you by Skipper Buds, Midwestern Shooter Supply, Curly's Waterfront Pub, Dave's Turf and Marine, Temple Bay Lodge, Discount Liquor, Sherpers, Carl's Country Market, Badger Sportsman Magazine, Jiffy Overhead Garage Doors, Park Avenue Pizza in Pewaukee, Moonlight Bay Resort, Water's Edge Boat Club, Anchors Away, and Peak Power Services.
I'm Kevin Moret, founder of Mentality Health, and I've made it my goal to help every guy in Milwaukee get tested. If you've lost a step or just don't feel right, find your T-number. Right now, Mentality is offering free testing, but only for a limited time. Whatever your age, whatever you do, just get tested. And if your testosterone is low, Mentality can get you back to leading the pack. Our treatment is covered by insurance, so every guy can afford it. Get tested, Milwaukee. Do it for your wife, your kids, your career, and for you. For more information, go to lowtusa.com.
Hey, this is Mike McGivern. If you listen to some of my shows, you know how much I appreciate our local Pick and Save stores. They truly care about our Wisconsin people and communities. They know how busy you are running your kids to school and practice. So now they're making fueling up your family a great way to help fuel your car. Earn points by shopping at your local Pick and Save store. Redeem those points for discounts on fuel at BP locations. For more information, go to pickandsave.com/fuel. Thanks, Pick and Save.
What you doing, Bob?
Ordering flowers for my sweetheart.
Oh, that's nice.
Why are you saying it like that?
How long you been together? Exactly. Maybe it's time for something better than flowers.
Okay, like?
I got my sweetheart a new SUV.
Oh, wait a second. You know, Katie did mention how she's not happy with her car.
Check this offer from John Paul's Buick GMC. Get 20% in savings on the 2019 GMC Sierra SLT Crew, or up to 18% off on select 2019 GMC Acadias or Terrains in stock.
20% for a GMC Sierra SLT Crew Cab, or 18% either GMC Acadias or Terrains? Oh, she'll love her ride. Love the savings, and love me more.
The John Paul Sweetheart Sales Event, happening now at John Paul's Buick GMC. Highway 100, just north of Beloit Road. JohnPaulsAutomotive.com.
John Paul's Buick GMC.
Get her a car, and you're a sweetheart for life.
Sierra stock number GC9825. Acadia stock number 7531. Terrain stock number GC7601. Finance through GM Financial for down payment assistance rebate. To approved credit, includes all rebates. Tax, title, license, and service fees not included. Offer ends 2/28/2019.
Wendy's has three new hamburgers on the new Made to Crave menu. The barbecue cheeseburger, the sauce and bacon cheeseburger, and the peppercorn mushroom melt. They've got so much swagger, they'll change the way you think about hamburgers. And the way you ride through our drive-thru. Maybe you'll lean your seat back a little. Maybe a lot. Maybe you'll roll your windows down. Or maybe your window's broken because you punch through it to get your hamburger faster. Try the three new hamburgers on Wendy's new Made to Crave menu and download the Wendy's app for craveable deals today. At Wendy's, we got you.
At participating Wendy's.
Wednesday morning on Chuck and Winkler, the Padres are the big spenders in MLB. The Cubs say they have no more money, and the Brewers are throwing darts at their second base position again. We'll get the insight on everything going on in baseball with Bob Nightingale at 9:19.
Chuck and Winkler, weekday mornings 6 to 10 on The Fan.
This is the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's new Made to Crave menu has all your cravings covered, even those you didn't know you had. Try the Sauce-Em Bacon Cheeseburger, Barbecue Cheeseburger, and Peppercorn Mushroom Melt. Cravings, consider yourselves satisfied. Available now at participating Wendy's.
We'll be right back. Sparky Pfeiffer, Leroy Butler, yet to be named NFL Hall of Famer, Gary Ellerson, former Badger Packer running back, myself, Baby Tausch, with you till 6 o'clock, Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan. Right now, Aaron Rodgers, Leroy Butler, is going to have an entire new staff to look at, and all most of them are going to be younger than he is. Nathaniel Hackett's 39, head coach, Matt LaFleur, 39. Luke Getsy, who's going to be his quarterback coach, is 35.
I think they got like seven guys under 40 or something.
This is what Matt LaFleur said yesterday about wanting to be a part of that.
He looks 12 himself, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do my part. I know I need to be in that room, especially as much as I possibly can. I am going to be the play caller. I think that relationship between the play caller and the quarterback is absolutely critical. So I will be in there as much as I can. I don't foresee ever missing a quarterback meeting.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. I'm going to pull the curtain back for the fans right now.
Pull it all the way back. Let us in that locker room.
My favorite coach. Well, I have a lot of favorites. I mean, I love them all. I think the most respectable coach that I think really respected me was Mike Sherman. You can see and feel it. But to me, Dick Geron was the smartest guy I've ever been around to know about football to get me in a position to make the transition from corner to safety. I enjoyed that interaction every day going to work, interacting with him. He was just the coolest guy. In my next book that I'm writing, he's a part of it. I'm writing a book now about all of the great coaches and bad ones that I've came across. He has a chapter in there. And actually, you know what? And actually, in this particular book, Gary's coaching staff is actually in the book. Because
Dick Geron was a DB coach when I was there.
Yeah, you know, he was a great player, by the way.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know that.
He was a phenomenal player.
Yeah. I really didn't know that at all.
Huge, he was good.
Huge mural.
He was amazing.
We were out in Pontiac at the time of Dick Geron. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, and so when he left, we had a guy, because I'm talking about coaching to a point. This is what I mean by that. I've already made Pro Bowls, all pros. So in comes Bob Valicente. Now, under Bob, I got all of the accolades, pretty much, you know, all decade and all that. So I didn't really need for him to tell me how to backpedal, okay? I knew how to backpedal. I didn't need him to tell me how to, you know, just kind of creep up on the line of scrimmage as if you were a lion and you waiting on a, you know, a gazelle or something. I didn't need that. It was in my DNA. It was in my genes. And I ain't talking about my Calvin Klein. It was in my genes. Okay?
He good, ain't he? Got a little Dion in him.
Yeah. I didn't need that.
That was very Dion.
Yeah.
When Doug Evans would give up an 85-yard bomb.
Steve is not impressed, though, I can tell.
It don't matter. I'm just education. If Doug Evans gave up an 85-yard bomb in the meeting, he wouldn't circle Doug with the pointer. Okay, he would circle me.
I don't mean to stop you, but
what?
I don't know. That day off yesterday, this team got a lot of haterade in him.
Come on, man. Let's get to the point.
That day off, man, he got a lot of haterade in him.
Why, Steve? You should be looking at me.
No, I can't help it. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to make a point.
Go ahead, bro.
It can be annoying to a player of his caliber if Luke Getsy and some of these guys go over to him and say, hey, oh, wait a minute, redo that play. I need your footwork better. Just for the people sitting in training camp. Oh, wait, redo that play. Aaron, I need your arm 2 more degrees to the left. That's what I mean, coaching to a point. Coach me to get me better, but don't coach me to what you're annoying. Although,
so overcoaching.
Yes.
So don't coach me like a rookie.
Hey, boy, you're preaching. Coach me. Now, none of my other jokers, Tim Boyle and number 9, have at it. So my thing is, I'm in the meeting, hour 15 minutes. After 20 minutes, Bob, turn the lights on. Leroy, you can go. Eugene, you can go. Y'all boys, stay. Let's get a little extra.
Yeah, that was always me.
And that's what I'm saying. And I ain't had no problem with that. And you know what I did?
Yeah.
And you know what I did? I didn't take a break. I stayed in there with the guys.
Right.
Because I loved it. Aaron Rodgers knows the press that he's getting. He knows what everybody's thinking. He knows about the Mercedes Lewis. He knows about the Jermichael families. He knows about all of this. His mind frame is now, I'm going to go in with an open mind to learn the offense, which he already has the materials for that, but it won't get reported because it's not big news. He already knows what's the philosophy as far as them getting the tight end coach, a guy that coached with Matt LaFleur in Atlanta. He liked the guy because he got a nice blocking scheme to go with the line, the offensive line coach. Everything's getting synchronized. He knows all of that. But as far as my torso being 45 degrees and my left knee to turn here, because I could also show you tape when I wasn't doing these angles when I was two-time MVP. I didn't do that. So we're not trying to make history and reinvent the wheel, but I want the wheel to move. Ooh. And it'll move smoother if everybody understands I'm okay with coaching. Who put this out that I don't like coaching?
And give me an example of something that they could say to him coaching-wise that would be acceptable.
Well, this would be decision-making is something that can't be, you know, argued. Okay? Aaron,
So, like, your decision to throw
leave that
through.
Take this. Leave that. Take this. Leave it alone. Matter of fact, this is what I'm going to do, Steve. I'll put the board up there and show you percentages. It may make it worse. That's a low percentage play, low percentage play. Although you've made those plays, we don't need that now. The last 2 years we've been watching the playoffs, we're trying to get back. If you really love Tom Brady like I think you do, let's watch a little tape of him. James White. Burkhead. Okay, Gronkowski. Okay, haven't even thrown it deep yet. Matter of fact, they gave you Gordon. The guy flamed out. No deep threat. Okay, you know what we're going to do? We're going to throw the Edelman across the middle. Short passes. You ain't got to win it by yourself.
What about holding onto the ball too long? How does he fix that?
Same thing. Decision. They're going to fix his decision-making. Now, that's coaching. All this other stuff is just a bunch of hyperbole. It's just going to bore him to death. And he's going to get the bad press because these coaches, you got to give them some leeway. But the decision to throw it in the flat, we'll get to the later bombs. We'll get to that. But I got to make these safeties come up and defend, make them tackle.
But, Leroy, you have to change then a whole way of being.
This is how it's going to be now.
From Aaron Rodgers.
And that's what the conversation was about.
I mean, Gary. You have to mentally change the way he know he has won. Mm-hmm. He has won a Super Bowl playing the way he's played.
I understand.
That's tough to break.
But to an extent, not how he has played the last 3 or 4 years.
Agreed.
Sure.
Agreed.
But
for the most part, he has won
no doubt
Super Bowls by playing
with that style.
By being that guy.
So in this sense, when these guys are coming in, fresh faces, new voices that were younger and more impressionable when he was doing that and winning a Super Bowl.
I tell you what.
Do you think that gives them more of a leg up in that coaching?
Do you feel more? How old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
Now keep it straight 100, okay? Do you feel more comfortable with people your age group or me, Sparky, and Gary's age group? Just be honest.
What do you feel? More comfortable with younger people.
That's why you got Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, 35, Coach, 39. They're on the same wavelength. It's a respect level to people that you hang out with. I'm 50 years old. I'm a 50-year-old guy that's finna get married. I ain't finna hang out with homeboys your age out at the club.
It's a bunch of hogwash.
I'm a grown man.
A bunch of hogwash.
I ain't finna hang out with y'all to get me in on Trump's
stuff.
Hey, man, only cheating I'm gonna do is on Instagram, cuz look at the Instagram pictures. I ain't trying to look at nobody. I'm a grown man. I'm trying to go to
church.
You say
you don't look at Instagram?
I say that's what you got to listen to me.
Is that what you just said?
I say that's the only thing I'm going to do.
That's
you missed
thing.
That. See, you heard, instead of hearing what I said, you heard what you wanted to hear.
I asked a question.
The only thing I'm going to do, instead of going out looking at women getting in trouble, being on ESPN, cheating on my wife, I would go to Instagram when she say you can look all you want. You can look at the menu, you just don't order nothing. Hey, my ordering days are over, cuz.
All right, now,
window shopping butler.
This is why I think what he just said is hogwash to a certain degree. I don't think that you're wrong saying that he wants to be around more guys his age. That
yes.
there's a disconnect between what his young receivers want to do on mm-hmm. their day-to-day activities versus what he wants to do. They may want to go play mm-hmm. video games, right?
Yes.
This dude don't. Right. They may want to go clubbing. This dude don't.
No.
Right. So I get down with that. Where I totally disagree is when we get to the coaching aspect of things. Because I think for the most part, and maybe you're not this way, but I think for the most part, with a lot of NFL players, especially vets, they want guys, and you've said it before about these retreads, they want guys that have been to the mountaintop and done it before, not some guy that's never done it before. For instance, that offensive line coach has never been an offensive line coach before.
No.
All these guys coaching on the offensive line have never done it. And you got Bakhtiari and Bulaga and these guys, they're going to have to get down and get with what these guys are saying, knowing in the back of their head that, these guys never really done it. This dude's been on a practice squad in Green Bay. That's pretty much all that's on his resume. All you have to do is go back and look at Giannis with the Bucks. This dude Googled Jason Kidd because he was frustrated at Jason Kidd to see what Jason Kidd had done in his career. And if Jason Kidd hadn't done anything, that relationship never would have worked out the way it did. Then he saw what Jason Kidd did. He's like, holy crap, okay, I'll listen to you. You're right. You're a Hall of Famer. I'm done doubting you. I don't think it's much different for these other guys in the NFL where you bring a bunch of young guys in, none of y'all done anything, and now you want me to buy in. We may have things in common, but I think the respect thing is going to be huge. When he asks questions, if they don't have answers immediately, that's where the disconnect's going to be. Even if they watch the same TV shows, it ain't going to matter.
They will have answers. It just may not be one he likes. That's when you come from the teamwork. When you have coach in front of your name, it's just like having a mister. You don't have a mister in front of your name until you move out of your parents' house. So if I want to go out with somebody, I'm going to go out with a couple of married couples. These young guys will really respect these guys because they're on the same wavelength. I think you really go out with people, hang with people your age group. And I think that will help you. That was the brilliant thing what Green Bay did. We'll get some younger guys in here to understand what's going on. We're going to all grow together. It's going to be all on-the-job training.
So,
and I think it'll work.
So you're expecting growth.
Yes.
But
growth.
Growth.
Yeah.
G-R-O-W-F-F.
Yeah, put some Fs in there. Growth.
But can you expect a lot of change, Sparky, in this Packers offense? We'll talk about it next. Play.
Aaron's got your trust that you can coach him hard?
Well, I think, listen, this is what is it. When you get into a room, you want to earn the trust of people. And, being here for 4 years, I think there's a mutual respect, a mutual trust that we developed before. But, I'm back again, and I got to earn that again. And then players, I've always felt that way. They're not going to show they care until you show you care. And so we got a lot of work to do. And he wants to be great, and he wants to be that MVP and win a Super Bowl more than anybody else here. There's no doubt. And so that my job is to help him, get to that opportunity.
There's new quarterback coach Luke Getsy for the Green Bay Packers, Wendy's Big Show on the Fans. T. Sparky Pfeiffer, while you were hearing that audio, had a nice little giggle to your.
Oh, that's because I was reading a tweet.
Okay.
I was reading a tweet from an NL executive explaining what it would be like if the Phillies don't get Bryce Harper, and it was pretty funny.
The fans are going to be very disappointed because the fans are looking. They've heard this for 2 days that you're close, and now that Machado's off the board, they're expecting this. It's almost why you just put it out there, and it leaks out that they're expecting this. I don't know. But Philly, they got to feel like if they won a Super Bowl, they're next to win a World Series. They must deliver for him.
So on that train, Bob Nightingale now has the numbers of the Chicago White Sox apparent offer that it was. It was the 8 years, $250 million, and then a $35 million option for 2027 and a $35 million option for 2028 would have made it worth $320 million.
So a 10-year 320.
So an extra $20 million that he could have had. The option years vested with $550 plate appearances in the previous season. So as long as he basically plays, half the games, he's probably going to have 550 plate appearances.
Yep.
So Machado takes less to go play out in the warm weather, which I understand.
Before you answer that question that you asked him, the reason why this is pretty good for Matt LaFleur, because he's starting to set his with the younger guys and the inexperienced guys, because we always talked about that. He's beginning to be the guy that's set precedent on building a tree. Like Mike Holmgren built a tree of guys, and you would pull these branches off to go to other franchises. Like Sean McVay, everybody wanted to hire a guy that even shook his hand. That's what he's trying to develop with these guys. And a lot of people don't know some of these guys. And you Google them and what their position. They don't. A lot of these guys don't have a lot of experience. But he's trying to develop that now by being there. So if Green Bay is successful, like he imagines they will be the next 5 years, a lot of his coaching staff, you'll see them as coordinators and possibly head coaches moving out.
Sparky, do you see the Packers' offense changing much this year with the new scheme that
Matt
LaFleur is?
Do you see him throwing a check down?
Trying to instill in this Packers team?
I mean, again, as we talked about before, Nathaniel Hackett coming in, that being Paul Hackett's kid, and that's where McCarthy was groomed under. Shanahan's version of what he liked to do from time to time in Atlanta and now in San Francisco, that is in LaFleur, too. I think if they have their way, it's going to be similar to what McCarthy did with more of a running game. I think that's what they want to do. Now, does 12 get down with that? I don't
that's
know.
What we right,
do
we don't know.
I mean, is 12 is 12 going to be down throwing that ball 30 times a game? Is he going to be okay
20?
With that? No. That there's no way he'll be down with that.
No.
But if we go to 30, is he okay with that? That is really what you need to find out at this
Mandela.
Point.
Mandela. Oh,
he's over
what's,
there.
What's look up Aaron Wise Steve still look up Aaron's average attempts per game when they came out. And we're going to see if he get to 30. He should be okay with 30.
30 would be fine. I don't want 40,
I think he
45,
okay
50, anything like that.
But let me ask you this, though, Steve, while he's looking those numbers up. What if you see him at 35, but you see Aaron Jones up to 20?
Okay. Then I'm in. But see, that's just
so
it.
So that's still.
But if you look at Atlanta,
or Jamal, whoever's
right,
starting.
But if you look at Atlanta when Shanahan was there, right?
With the two backs.
They were
system.
Splitting both those backs and using them in
yes.
different situations.
Yep.
I think that's what you're going to have here. I think it's going to be similar. You're going to have Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones both splitting carries in the backfield, and I still think eventually they're going to do what I've been asking, and that is they're both going to be in the backfield at the same time, and you're going to have to pick and choose who you want to try and take out.
Yeah, Philbin tried it a little bit. I wish they would have stuck with it. Again, Aaron, he has to buy into this. I think that the blocking scheme will be a two-headed mount. The same thing they did in Tennessee when they had Deion Lewis and the kid from Alabama.
But, LaRoy, the thing is, and you know this, but the truest sense of that West Coast offense, when you look at whatever version you want, is finding that tight end that can exploit the middle of the field. And they didn't do it last year, time and time and time again. That's another aspect of this offense that has to be put in
no doubt.
Has to be utilized, and that quarterback has to be on board with making that throw.
That's the problem.
Just over 33 attempts
33.
Per game.
Right. So let's say that comes down to 29 to 30. Somewhere in that area, 4 to 5 throws a game ends up being running plays. He should be fine with that.
He should be fine.
And that was for his career, right, Anthony?
Yeah, that's in his career. 165 games played, 158
of them. What about last year?
Last year was just over 37. I just did the math.
What was it?
Yeah.
Last
just
year?
Over 37.
He's probably right.
37.
That's seven less passes. But they didn't win last year.
They were behind a lot. Yeah.
That's what I tell them. You didn't win last year, and you threw it 37 times a game.
Yeah.
We're going to try it my way. We're going to throw it 30-31, somewhere in that area. Yeah. We're going to run the football a little bit more. And this offensive line with our new coaches is going to be a lot better. And if we run the football, our defense doesn't have to be on the field. And you don't got to worry about getting hit.
Time of possession. Do they need four tight ends like last year, think?
No.
They're going to have
tight ends this year.
And a fullback.
Just only three? Okay.
Yeah, and a fullback.
That's a good
They want to run the ball.
They need a fullback.
We'll see.
They had a fullback, the one guy, I think number 45.
Yeah, Vitaly or whatever his name was.
Yeah, they need to get maybe
Danny Vitaly.
Two fullbacks, maybe. But I would – you know what I would do, though? Remember I talked about – I'm off topic. Real quick. You know what I would do and you do this in the offseason, okay? What I would do before I let Ronald Cobb go, okay, I got to find somebody in the slot, and that guy would be Kumerow. I would put him in the slot and let him work the middle of the field. Now with Geronimo Ellison is back, you could put him out wide, and you put 15 out there. I mean 17, my apologies. Now the Jimmy Graham effect, now you still can still bring your younger guys along slowly, but put Kumaro inside, put him inside the slot. I got to call up there, see can I get that to happen in OTA, just to see if it happens. Because if he can't do it in OTAs and shorts, then you got to go out and find a slot receiver. That one kid, I forgot his name.
Hunter Renfro, Clemson.
You got to go get him, man. I don't know what round he's available. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th round, free agent. Bring him in here immediately.
Yeah, okay? hopefully we're watching him when we all go up to training camp this year.
Yeah, why y'all do all this traveling? Where y'all get all this money from?
No, what Baby Tosh has is he wants to bring back the travel, because we used to go, well, you remember, you were there, Leroy. We used to go to training camp. We used to have our show from training camp. We do that Stadium View, I think we used to, Steve, was it?
That's where I saw you guys back when I was
We were at Stadium View, yeah.
I think we used to do it at Stadium View back in the day. And
but y'all going to the combine?
I'm going to
the
combine.
He's going to the combine.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Can we talk to you from there? Or no?
Yeah, 27 so I talked to Baby Tosh, and then Steve wasn't here yesterday. We talked.
Y'all never take me and Steve anywhere.
Well,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Me too, in a way.
Yeah.
I got a family, man. I can't be traveling all the
time. Can't be getting in trouble with these two knuckleheads.
Right. And they'll be passing gas. And like,
what are you guys? You guys just give me a bad ring. You guys act like I'm out here just
Gary got all this
doing all this crazy stuff.
Back.
He does have a lot of tacos.
Leroy and I used to travel together a lot. We don't
that was funny.
Now he doesn't hang out with you?
No.
That's weird, man. Well,
I used to be my road dog, man.
I'll be your road dog if you let me.
I used to be my road dog back here in the day. I can rely on Leroy back in the day, cause you know I'm on, you know, that cigar a little bit.
Said cigar.
Inhale.
Yeah, right.
Got to inhale.
You know, I want to toss back a couple whiskeys. My boy, designated driver, cause he don't drink. I love him.
Straight
that way.
Sprite. No, that's not me.
Straight Sprite.
Yeah. I can't DD for you.
Then need Uber.
Yeah, I can't do that. We got Uber. We got Ryan Wood coming up next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Of the Green Bay Press Gazette joins the Wendy's Big Show on
105.7
FM, The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, the radio.com app, 105.7 FM, thefan.com, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Woody, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it. Loved the article at PackersNews.com today.
Hey, no problem. I miss you guys. How's everybody doing?
Pretty good, buddy. Pretty good.
Okay, so let's talk about
it. Uh-oh, Steve didn't even ask me to
Let's get to it.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about this Packers offense. So how much different is this really going to look from what we've seen with McCarthy and from what you can pick up talking to these coaches yesterday? How much different is it really going to look?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I haven't seen a practice yet, so I haven't seen it with my own eyes. I thought it was interesting yesterday that they downplayed how different this is going to be. Now, there's going to be differences. The West Coast offense in general, it's a very broad term for a lot of variances within. And you know, you see it here on staff with Nathaniel Hackett, son of Paul Hackett, which is one variance of the West Coast offense. And then you've got Matt LaFleur, came up through the Shanahan tree, Mike Shanahan. That's another variance of the West Coast offense. So there are differences in the West Coast hybrid type offense that Mike McCarthy ran to what Matt LaFleur will run. But with that said, it's not a tearing down and building back up from scratch in a completely different system that is completely detached and foreign to the West Coast offense. There's going to be a lot of similarities. It's going to be new stuff.
Steve.
Matt LaFleur said that too. But there's going to be similarities as well. I think what's going to be interesting to see it going forward is just what you asked. How similar is it and how different is it? Because it's not going to be completely different.
Let's talk about Rodgers and the running backs on this football team. We were talking before the break about, you know, he averaged somewhere in the area of 37-ish throws per game last year for the Packers. In his career, he's averaged around 33 per game. Is it crazy to think that those numbers could be even lower with a run-based offense that people may expect to see with LaFleur, where maybe he's averaging around 30 or 31 throws a game?
No, I don't think it's crazy at all. I mean, what's the one season that we've seen of Matt LaFleur as an offensive play caller last year in Tennessee?
Yeah, well, Mariota's not Rodgers, though. I mean, to be fair.
No, they don't, but still, they do have a very capable running back in Aaron Jones. They do have another really downhill runner in Jamal Williams, and they have a quarterback in Aaron Rodgers who, yes, he's still a great talent, but he's also 35 years old, and you want to minimize the type of hits that he's taking. So there's a lot of reason to think that the running game is something that is going to be a linchpin to this offense. With that said, this whole offensive scheme, the Kyle Shanahan offense, it's predicated on outside zone runs. I mean, that's what they get in the play action game and the play fake passes and those things. I think that's going to be kind of the foundation of what they build this on. Yes, obviously last year in Tennessee they had a lot of significant quarterback issues, but you saw a play caller who, when he had the ability to run the football, did not hesitate to run it a ton with Derrick Henry. So this is a guy that will run the football, and there's a lot of reason to believe that more balanced than what we've seen in recent seasons with the Packers is going to be warranted with an aging quarterback and with the talent in the backfield to do that.
So, and they're also, you know, you look at what they're trying to implement and bring in offensively, and I think we were a little taken aback by it, that maybe some of this terminology will be a lot of the same, because we thought we were going to get something completely different because it just didn't quite work with Rodgers. And now we're hearing that the plays may be the same. Do you have any reservations with that, Ryan?
I think the terminology is the thing that's going to be the most different. So, I mean, there's going to be completely new terminology, and Aaron Rodgers and everyone else in this offense is going to have to learn the verbiage and learn it the way that Matt LaFleur does it. I think what they're doing, though, and by they, I mean Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, the decision makers, they had an opportunity this year to take a completely new direction, a 100% new direction on offense that is completely departed and detached from what Aaron Rodgers has been doing as a starting quarterback for more than a decade, and they didn't do that. What they did was they presented plenty of familiarity because it is still a West Coast system that will be run. It'll be a different system, but there's going to be similarities and things that bind any West Coast offense. So it's not going to be completely learning from scratch for a 35-year-old future Hall of Fame quarterback who's a two-time MVP and has had a lot of success running this style or similar styles of offense. It makes sense to me. I mean, if their situation was different, if their situation was a young quarterback that they could mold and have a lot of flexibility with, perhaps it would have been more enticing to go in a different direction. But that's just not the reality of their situation with 35-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm. Talk with Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Does the extra draft capital make possibly an Antonio Brown sweepstakes more intriguing for the Packers, knowing that they have some picks expendable?
You know, it could. I haven't heard anything in my reporting that say that the Packers are pursuing any type of trade with Antonio Brown. I think on paper there's some reason to at least consider it. That's not to say that they should go and trade for Antonio Brown, but one, it would make their offense better. He's a talent that, you know, they've got a lot of young, inexperienced guys at the receiving corps after Davante Adams. Two, he's a guy that can play in the slot, and when you look at what they are going to need, that they're well built on the perimeter of the field, but there's a huge glaring hole there for someone to take slot snaps and be a playmaker in the middle of the field. Antonio Brown obviously can do both at a high level. He can play slot really, really well, so there's a fit there on the field. And three, you look at the off-field distractions. Well, what's a good way to mitigate that stuff? Drop him in the middle of a contender, and the Packers, so long as they have Aaron Rodgers, are going to be viewed as a contender. Give him a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. It would seem to be the type of situation in which Antonio Brown could flourish and the Packers could benefit. With that said, there's plenty of obvious red flags that Brian Gutekunst would have to give a very hard look at. So that and that's his job. So I'm not here saying they should make the trade, But there's reasons to at least consider what that might be.
Yeah, because you would think that they had like $35 million or whatever in the cap. They're going to use that. But I want to get into more of the combine because these guys now, you know, the media has a chance, these assistant coaches, I mean, they had a chance to kind of speak and things of that nature. They'll be going to the combine looking for talent. I want to concentrate on this 12th pick. With that being said, and just kind of hearing from the head coach, it seemed like to me they want to be able to run the ball. So I think with that first pick, they will be looking for offensive linemen or via free agency. I would like to get D Ford, a pass rushing guy, to take care of that. Those are some big shoes to fill, the offensive line coach from James Campen and the Butkus, the young man, the Butkus coach, assistant line coach.
Yeah, and Adam Stinovich, obviously, who was on the practice squad with James Campen as the offensive line coach 10-plus years ago. You're right, they're huge shoes to fill with James Campen leaving. I think at that 12th pick, I mean, look, we can talk, you know, free agency. If D Ford isn't tagged by the Kansas City Chiefs, I think the Packers have got to be doing cartwheels because, one, they've got his position coach, Mike Smith, on their staff now. Exactly. They're going to know him very well. They're going to think very highly of him. I just don't see how there's any way the Chiefs let D Ford get to the open market and not tag him. I'd be very surprised. I'd be shocked if that happens.
Right.
So you just don't see those type of caliber outside linebackers become available very often. The 12th pick, you start with edge rusher because that's the biggest, most glaring need. But it's a cliche, but they need talent. They need the difference-making talent.
Well,
whether that comes
point.
At guard, whether that comes at receiver, whether that comes at safety. They need difference-making talent there. And then as you get back in the draft, I think that maybe roster needs can – kind of help steer some of the decisions, but this is a team devoid. How many Pro Bowlers, other than the David Bakhtiari, first team All Pro, Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Epps? There's not a lot of other Pro Bowl talent on this roster. They need more of that.
Somebody said Matthews was in the locker room. I don't know why that's breaking news.
He was.
Yeah, I mean,
I was surprised.
Does that mean anything? I mean.
He's still under contract until March, so no. I mean, I don't make it much out of that. I was a little surprised to see that he was still around, but he lives here during the season, so
I think he wanted you guys to see him too. I mean, I think that's always good to stay in.
Yeah, he's a smart guy.
What's wrong with that? He could be getting his hair done or something.
Facilities here and all that.
Yeah. Let's talk about the strength and conditioning staff. They finally decided what they were going to do there, and essentially they just rearranged the chairs on the Titanic. That's pretty much what they did, right? I mean. Okay, so you're going to step down. You're going to get promoted. Nobody gets fired. We're not bringing in our own guys. We're just going to keep everybody in place. How much of that do you think was LaFleur? How much of that was the general manager and Mark Murphy?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that their fingerprints are all over the staffing decisions. I mean,
yeah, Lamar Levatt been there for a long time.
It started with their desire to keep Mike Pettine as defensive coordinator, and fortunately for Matt LaFleur, that's something he agreed with. He came into that interview wanting the same thing. So it's been compatible in what both sides have wanted here. But there's no question that Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst are very involved in the happenings with the staff and how it's materialized. So as far as the strength and conditioning, were they involved with that specifically? The thing that obviously stood out yesterday was Matt LaFleur saying that Mark Levatt was the one that brought the idea to him. Why would he bring that idea to him? We don't know, and Matt LaFleur didn't say. There's a whole wide range of possibilities that I won't even begin to speculate there. But it's interesting. I mean,
Levatt came to him and said, I'll be instead of coordinator, I'll be the assistant coordinator?
That's what Matt LaFleur said.
Hey, some money, bad, no money.
He would say that. And he also wasn't, they didn't have the strength and conditioning guys available in the locker room yesterday. All the other assistant coaches were. I was a little surprised by that. Chris Gizzi and Mark Levatt, those guys were not available. So it would have been nice to ask, why did you want a demotion? Because that's, it's interesting. But bottom line to me, Mark Levatt, if he had a serious problem with Chris Gizzi being named coordinator, I have a hard time thinking that he would still be on staff.
Right.
So,
Pepper Burris is still retiring, right? So the head trainer, they got to replace him.
They've got to still figure some things out. But yeah. As far as the strength and conditioning goes, that it's going to be interesting to see if Chris Gizzi means a new direction, or if, like you said, it's just the rearranging of the deck chairs and they're not really changing anything. I think that'll be real interesting.
Well, we'll talk to you and see how it all unfolds together, Ryan Wood, here on the Wendy's Big Show. Appreciate the time, man.
Hey, take care, guys.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
Talk to you soon. Ryan Wood on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Great Lakes Dragway on the Fan next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.